Hey. Welcome. You know what you're listening to. You're tuned right here to Mind Blown Decisions, where we talk about life, love, and relationships. I am your host tonight, Natrine L. As usual, so glad you could be with us and be joining us all over the world. Thank you so much. Just have a great show for you tonight. We have guest speaker Marissa. I want to say this right. Marissa Crespo, celebrity attorney exclusive interview tonight. Within the next few minutes, we should be going live. I just wanted to set the pace and tell you a little bit about Marissa. Marissa is an entertainer and intellectual property attorney who focuses on copyright and trademark brand protection for content creators in the film, television, literary, fashion, and music industry. That's just getting started, guys. So we got a great show for you guys. I want to go ahead and bring Marissa in. And let you guys feel her presence and hear of her journey. So we just welcome you in tonight. Again, you're listening to Mind Blown Decisions, and I am your host, and I am Natrine L. So thank you so much for joining us, Carla. How are you?
Oh, good. How's it going this evening?
It's going well. Thank you so much. where are you calling in from? And introduce yourself.
I'm sorry, come again? It's hard to hear.
Introduce yourself and tell us where you're calling in from.
Actually, this is, in fact, Marissa Crespo calling in from the Atlanta area.
Apologize for that. Can you hear me okay?
there we go. Yes, I can hear you.
Technical
now.
Difficulties at home tonight. Sorry about that.
No problem. That's what happens when we're all sitting in our homes and in quarantine mode, right? So I don't know about you, but I'm getting tired of looking at the same four walls. You hear me?
Oh, yes. So thank you again, Marissa, for joining us. I want to dive right into our show. You do some amazing work as entertainment and intellectual property attorney. So my first question would be, Marissa, is because I want to allow you a chance to tell your story. Why did you get into this, into intellectual property? What drove you to that? Because this is an important piece of anybody's story.
Oh, wow. I mean, to give you the abridged version, I started off wanting to write. So I was basically coming from more of the creative space where I wanted to write stories, tell stories, and also to dance, right, to do it in an artistic visual form as well. So that's kind of how I got started. And I had that passion, nerded out over books, and then eventually I was trying to figure out a career choice as I was kind of moving through high school, knowing that I wanted to go to college. And at the time, I was thinking, okay, well, I could do entertainment law. But after that, I decided to transition once I went to law school, focusing on, even before then in college, focus on entertainment law, but also just understanding the different types of arts and kind of expand my horizons that way. So really it came from just the desire to be an artist myself, but I don't think I was bold enough to cross over 100% into that path, as I realized that a lot of artists don't have the protections that they need, especially people of color. Mm-hmm. And so I was really big on making sure that we were protected in some way, shape, or form, and that people feel comfortable coming to an attorney that looked like them and also had a similar cultural background.
That's still such an amazing story, and it's a great driving force to serve others and not just serve others, but protect yourself and those that you serve. We appreciate you for being here and sharing your knowledge, your wisdom, and thank you for your dedication and all the time you spent into making these types of decisions. So when you went into the entertainment, it was because you said that you wanted to protect, but you thought that you had talent and you wanted to be in entertainment. What was that?
It was hard to hear the last part of the question. I apologize.
No problem. So my question is, when you decided to become, to protect yourself as an attorney, a celebrity attorney for entertainment, and then you added on all the different elements of television and literary arts and fashion and just the music industry, when you did that, you had a dream that you said you thought you wanted to be in entertainment, but you wasn't, you know, bold enough to go forward, or you chose this path. What type of talent did you think that you wanted to further? What's my question?
Oh, wow. I mean, honestly, I came from an advocacy background starting off. So when I was in college, I was actually, you know, representing non-immigrants who were here. Either they, you know, were undocumented or their visas expired, or they were here with the hopes and dreams of getting married to someone that thought loved them. But unfortunately, they were suffering at the hands of domestic violence and so needed some form of relief as they were trying to figure out and pick up the pieces of their lives here in the United States. And so generally, unfortunately, that tended to be people of Hispanic descent that I was representing and doing translation services for. So it was such a different, it was such a different path, but it was also storytelling, because what I had to do, I had to translate from, you know, from Spanish to English, their story. And at the end of the day, that's a human experience. And so I think, When I look back at all of the different areas and my interest in the arts, but not having the guts enough to actually proceed forward and dive in full time doing something on the creative side, but really wanting to mix that with the business and understand the business, coupled with having an advocacy background, everything kind of got fused together in my experiences to kind of lead me to the path of where I'm at now. So I mean, I'm representing, you know, whether it's, you know, celebrities, influencers, startups, media companies. At the end of the day, it's all a storytelling experience, a special type of client, but there's a need there. So just tapping into the human aspect of, like, what it is that you're trying to do, why are you trying to, you know, put your voice into the marketplace, and what are you saying, and how is it different, that's advocacy work. So that's what I do, you know, each day and every day, whether it's filing trademarks for a brand that has something to say, or contractually trying to build that arrangement so collaboratively a project can come out that's speaking to a human experience. That was everything that at the end of the day, I was looking for. So it's kind of putting in a different facet of the creative side within the legal space. And I like the fact that I'm dabbling in that territory, which I think is a lesser path travel.
I love it. A woman after my own heart, studying many things, doing many things, serving many people, and making money all at the same time. There's so many areas we can touch on because you have such an impressive resume. Because I believe that when you have this type of resume, it's more so a calling and a passion. You kind of fall into it. You just walk into it. You don't even know how you got there. It's just you knew somebody needed it. You know somebody needed help, and there you were, and and so you got guided into the position that you're in today, you say that you know, actually not say, you are proclaiming self-proclaimed legal brand archivist, right?
Yes.
That's awesome. I mean, I understand what you're doing. You have a amazing library. So that is definitely in the picture, and I can stand with your self-proclaimed being a legal brand on archivist. And that's crafty, because like you said, you work on so many different levels and so many different industries, and it's all merging. How was that for you? How was that ride for you?
It, you know what? It really took, gosh, I've been doing this for almost 7 years. as far as like the legal work, but working within the entertainment space almost 10. It took me up until December of 2019 when my publicist forced me to go through a rebrand and think about my brand and get it together. I mean, it had me stop and think, you know, like I'm preaching this to the clients every day. And admittedly, I wasn't feeling like I would, like my brand was up to par just yet, right? And I was like, there's something missing. There's that ingredient that's missing. And I took the time, like, you know, in December, right? Like how many of us were sitting around December not knowing that COVID-19 was on the horizon, right? But we were like, oh, 2020, it's about to be a new chapter, new decade, new me. You know, so we're going through this whole process. And I decided to go through that for my business and thinking about, like, why am I doing what I'm doing? I mean, I'm spending hours drumming out contracts, on the phone with people, talking about their businesses. No matter if I'm tired, I'm worn out, whatever's going on, like, I still have this love for it, you know, and that's what fuels me every day. So why? Like, what is this that I'm doing? And when I was writing it down and actually going back and looking at my journey and forcing myself to write it down, it finally clicked. And it clicked in a way where I was like, okay, if I had to sum it up in a phrase, if I had to sum it up in a couple of sentences, like, what is my firm? How is it distinguishable from anybody else? And really, how I position it is the fact that you get me. The firm is me. It's not a firm where it's a big suit firm where I've got a whole bunch of associates behind me and a receptionist is constantly answering the phone. Like, it begins and ends with me. That work starts with me, it ends with me. So when I thought about that and I thought about, like, okay, well, who am I? What am I representing? And I think about my clientele base and all their stories and what their desires and dreams and hopes are. I'm like, this is dope. Like, at the end of the day, what I'm doing for them is cultural, like, it's cultural in nature and it's being an archivist. And when you look up what an archivist is, and there's actually brand archivists in the fashion world. Nobody knows that that's actually a job out there, but there's somebody that's curating Michael Kors lines, right? You know, and so I'm like, well, why don't we think about that concept in the legal space? So that's where I kind of came up with it at that point. And once it clicked, it really clicked. And I felt like that energy and that alignment with my purpose and what I feel I'm meant to do within this space, it just started falling into place wherever I was going, who I was meeting, who I was coming across, the energies were different. And so I felt like I opened up kind of like that third eye moment, you know, within my space, in the legal space.
I truly get it. I wanted to ask you, I want to make sure that I'm asking some really great questions because there are people who are creative consumers that don't have the protection, don't understand copyright, don't understand the intellectual property, owning your own rights to, claiming your own rights to. So what steps should they take to secure their intellectual property?
Absolutely. I mean, just taking a step back for a second, I mean, what you're embarking on is a collaborative process, and it's also it's intellectual property. What that actually means when you think about it in business terms is that you're building assets. So it's not a physical space like an actual building, but it's an intangible asset that nowadays are becoming much more valuable and they're appreciating in value as we're moving away from the physical world and really into a digital space, right? So the way I look at it is, at the end of the day, you need to take a step back and think about what business you're in and know the business. That's what's going to distinguish you from being, an average artist to now being a good artist. And then once you really understand the business and understand how to cut through some of the red tape, you've now moved yourself from being a good artist to a great artist. And then when you want to be an exceptional one, you not only understand it, but you know how to navigate it in a way that works for you. And so I would say, you know, obviously read up on it. We're all sitting in front of computers and mobile devices, especially these days, right? Like everything shut down. I mean, like, come on, how many Zoom meetings are you going to have a day? You know, like everyone's getting tired of it. So, I mean, take the time to kind of browse and research, you know, pick up. You don't have to master that skill. I'm not telling people they need to go to law school all of a sudden. Like there are people like myself out there that can help you. But being able to be empowered with at least the foundational knowledge so you can be conversant and what you're claiming to want to operate in as far as, like, the actual business part. So I would say that, number one, like, you can't be, especially nowadays, you just can't be an artist walking around saying, like, I don't know nothing about that, I don't handle it. Like, it's just not, it's not acceptable. Because what you're basically saying is, I just like to hire people that control it. I have no control, no care for it, whether it's here today, gone tomorrow, right? I think, you know, you need to be smart about it and think about your legacy and the mark that you're leaving. So reading up on it for sure. But then also, you know, finding someone that you trust as far as your team, and part of that team should be legal, that can help guide you along the way.
And so what, Marissa, would be, guys, they're listening to Mind Blown Decisions, where we talk about life, love, and relationship. And tonight we're listening to celebrity attorney Marissa, am I saying it right, Crespo.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. See, when you hear new things, you got to make sure you're right. And I never want to dishonor anyone by mispronouncing their name. This is really intelligent radio. And I love it because you work and have done so many different things. You involved in deals for television shows or major networks such as NBC, VH1, Bravo, and WeTV, including such shows as Love and Hip Hop and Real Housewives franchise. Listen, we can go on and on and on, and I'm amazed. I'm new to radio. I'm not that new, but I'm new to radio, and I'm new to even, you know, this whole entertainment space. And like you said, learning the industry is what's going to set you apart. Being familiar with how protocols and what trademarks are there. You know, just knowing what you can and cannot be, knowing that guideline. And it's not so clear because most people are in entertainment because they want to make money. They want to be seen. They want their voice heard, or they want to express themselves. And it's so much more than that. You have to become pretty much a complete walking billboard. And in order to prosper in especially when it comes down to intellectual properties, and I really want you, if you could, dive into how people that are creative contenters, whether they're a rapper, whether they're a script writer, whatever it is, a book, whatever they're doing, what would be your advice to them in outside of just researching and contacting a person like yourself? What other resources out there that they could go to if they hadn't heard of Marissa, if they hadn't heard that there was a celebrity attorney, if they hadn't heard of intellectual property, but they know something, they're being taken advantage of? What would you suggest to them?
Absolutely. Network, you know, getting out there and meeting people. What you're in as far as entertainment is a human-based business. I mean, the personality sometimes may not be the greatest. the scene, you know, might be just over the top, you know, not your style. Like, I'm an ambivert, you know, so I'm a extrovert, but truly an introvert at heart. So I can find the extrovert level, yeah. Exactly. You know, if I get a little tired, I got to recharge the battery a bit. So, you know, for people that aren't as comfortable networking, you know, learn to embrace that uncomfortability and to kind of move forward in that, because quite frankly, it in this business, it's who you know, unfortunately. Like, it takes a lot more time, you know, and a longer process to get through the door and to move a project from point A to point Z if you don't have those contacts and that network in place, right? So, I mean, we're talking about kind of the full facet of the different entertainment industries. But if I broke it down, like if you're a writer, for instance, whether you are a screenwriter, a teleplay writer, you know, continue to write, know your craft, know your stories in and out, and pitch them, you know, talk to people, but make sure that they are protected. So before you start pitching them to everybody and sending your scripts to people, make sure that you copyright them, so that way you've got that built-in protection in case, you know, someone did lift and infringe on your work. But being able to have those human-based relationships is definitely a critical aspect that you need to have. I would say, you know, just being knowledgeable about what's going on in your locale and, like, in the nearby areas and cities, and if you're willing to pick up and travel to those different cities that have more of an entertainment market. You know, so if some of you guys are based in cities that don't have a bustling entertainment industry per se, like, you know, like Atlanta and New York, but you're somewhere in the Midwest, if not Chicago, then, you know, travel a little bit, travel to Chicago, travel to New York, and, you know, go to different types of festivals and events to help with that networking process for sure.
Well, I love it. This has been really amazing. It's enlightening for me because this is one of the things that I try to know a little bit about everything. I don't have to master it all. But the time that I've been studying, like you suggested, that any person that is a creative content or whatever genre you're in is to be able to produce that content, not just physically, like in a notebook or, you know, on your laptop or whatever, but actually have a, you know, website where your stuff is stored. Would you suggest that for people who are especially because it's kind of tricky, and I want you to touch on this because some people are under contract. So how do they kind of get past some of that that legal jargon or that legal situation?
Well, I mean, yeah, I know how annoying that gets, right? Like, you never want to sit there and talk to an attorney that just, like, straight up hits you with legalese for 45 minutes till you're blue in the face. I think a better form of attorney is one who can be conversant with you and actually translate some of that legalese jargon into just regular everyday language. Like, hey,
what?
Don't sign it. Hey, right? Like, if you created something and they sent you a contract and you don't have an attorney, read it. Don't sign it right off the rip, because if you're creating something and they're sending you a contract, they probably want something from you. More likely than not, your intellectual property, and they probably want to own it and then not pay you for it, really. So at the end of the day, what are the contracts? They spell out how much are you getting paid, when are you getting paid, what property is being transferred or what property is being licensed, and for how long, and how do you get out of it if you need to, right? Like that, let's just boil it down to the basic
elements.
Those are
some really key. Can you go back over those again? Really, really slow it down just a little bit so that our listeners will be able to catch that, because that's really, really important. I think a lot of people are stuck. They don't know how to make the money in the contract. They don't know the terms of the contract, and they don't know necessarily when it ends or if it's breached. They don't even realize that, and they're stuck in a cycle.
Right, absolutely. I mean, when you think about contracts, like what is a contract? Like, why is it even important? It's important because if the deal falls through or if someone doesn't honor their word or what they said, you have to have some way to enforce it. So if you've got something in writing to point back of, like, hold on, wait a minute, you said you were going to pay me every 2 weeks. It's been four months. I haven't received payment, you know. So being able to kind of spell out the nuts and bolts. So, like, in a contract, generally speaking, if it's services that are being given, that includes if you're a music artist, And there's a recording contract. That's a service-based contract. At the end of the day, you are locked in for how long, how much are you getting paid, how many albums are you supposed to produce, you know, or EPs or tracks these days, right? Are you allowed to do features on someone else's record that's signed to a different label? Like, those are the things that really get spelled out. So when you really stop and just think about, what am I getting ready to do? What are they asking me to do? And if you don't have a clear answer on that, and if what they told you and what you're reading doesn't seem to add up, there's a problem. Because at the end of the day, a good contract is one where you can understand at least, you know, 75-80% of it. I totally get the boilerplate language, the legalese stuff. It loses folks. But at the end of the day, if you can pinpoint, hold on page 3, it told me I was going to get paid every 2 weeks.
Yeah, right, I read that enough.
You can recall the information to know exactly what it is that's being asked and what you shall receive.
Right. So you spoke about, Marissa, the legally language that's in most contexts, the we's and the you's and separate, the powers. When you spoke just moments ago, you spoke about knowing at least 80 to at least 87% of that contract, you being able to follow through that with the open mind and concept of being able to comprehend what you read before you sign. Mm-hmm. And if now you get someone else to read along with your filing attorney as yourself and with it, how would people reach out to you to be able to follow up for your social media sites or websites?
Oh, sure, absolutely. So as far as my Instagram, that's what the real social media that I really utilize. You'll find me on Instagram at Clo, that's C-L-O underscore entertainment. In terms of my law firm, you can find me at Crespo Law Office, PC. It'll show that I have an address out in New York, but I'm actually also primarily based in Atlanta, Georgia. In terms of my email address, you could certainly reach out to me at mcrespo, that's C-R-E-S-P-O, at crespolawoffice.net, which is also on the website as well and on my Instagram page.
That's amazing. Thank you so much. I don't want to take up the whole night, and I want to give you an opportunity because I know there's a story there somewhere inside of you that something you want to listen to know. And I know because I'm feeling like all this energy from you because on the airwaves. So I think
it's all the bottled up, pent up energy being in the house.
Yeah, it
Wait
is. And, right. I went outside for a walk around the block yesterday, came back inside, and I was like, ooh, yeah, I'm getting tired of these walls, too. Actually, I can see the dust forming in the corner because my ceiling fan is on all the time. So I'm
Look, I have to get outside. Like, the minute things look a little bit safe, because right now I'm still side-eyeing the Rona air. But as soon as I can get outside, cash me outside, folks. Cash me outside.
Hey, listen, I got some masses for you. We got masses, 10 to 30. So,
there we go. We're
going to
get it together.
Be out there and take care of yourself.
Absolutely, right? First and foremost.
Yeah, the hustle of caring for oneself and being able to really. I guess manage your time with all that you do. How is it outside of the corona, the pandemic, and all this is going on? How is it? What's a typical day for you?
Well, it's, honestly, a lot of time is spent on the phone. I catch a lot of heat from family and friends. They're like, I just don't hear from you, or I sent you a text, or I called you, and you didn't. And what people don't realize, well, my fiance, he sees it firsthand, but a lot of people don't realize that I am on the phone a lot, like, throughout the day. So it's hard to unplug. So when I do, I really do. It's almost like, it's not even like, how the computer goes in sleep mode. Like, I just shut down. It's a hard reboot.
Yeah.
It is a hard reboot. But a lot of time is just really spent, on the phone, just hearing some great stories, hearing some great businesses that are starting up. Actually, especially during this time, I was quite surprised because I thought there was going to be a little bit of a lull on the entertainment side. But quite frankly, actually, it's picked up because I think creatives are realizing, I'm not going to put my eggs all in one basket, having this 9-to-5 job that just furloughed me, just laid me off. I need to figure out how to just do what I got to do and move forward. So I've been very appreciative of the fact that there are many people out there that are looking to start new businesses that are still proceeding forward with their business plans despite the pandemic, and trusting me with their work. So that's why I spend a lot of time. So if I'm not on the phone, I'm drafting. Sometimes I'm doing both at the same time and splitting my brain. But when all is said and done and I'm able to kind of wind down and relax, I love watching. I guess I'm still doing entertainment, but just in a different way. I'm still watching it. So I love watching documentaries. My fiance and I, we usually find new shows to watch, or just, you know, new documentary that's focusing on the history of our people and, like, where we've been, how far we've got to go, where we're at right now, and just kind of commenting about that. So that's kind of the joy that I have, is that I guess I'm a penultimate consumer, if you will.
Okay. So what is it that Marissa likes to do just to not necessarily unwind, but as you said, you and the fan base are finding things to interact with. Becoming one with your fan base, I think, is amazing, which is not rare. It's rare in today's society. It is very rare.
No, it is. I mean, honestly, again, it goes back to just what is the human, like, fundamental, right? And I think that we are not people that are meant to be on an island of our own, but to be part of a community. So, you know, different ways of giving back, being a part of community, being able to engage with others, but also getting in touch with yourself, too, because all that outside work, that's all well and good, but if you're just, like, untapped and checking in with yourself and kind of taking care of yourself in that process, you're not going to be your best form of light beaming in interfacing with anybody else. So that's something that I keep telling myself every day at this point, to be able to just, you know, you got to have the checks and balances. So sometimes I got to check myself, like, so, you know, it's about time to kind of wind it down. So, like, even tomorrow, it's taking everything in me. I decided I'm taking tomorrow off. My calendar shut down. I will have my phone off, so anybody reaching me will not reach me tomorrow. Call me on Monday. But it's
well,
going to be an active effort.
I hope that you can really enjoy that. I hope you can really enjoy tomorrow because it's most necessary. I did it Sunday. I shut everything down.
Yeah. Yeah, just taking the weekends and, like, giving yourself a facial and just catching up. Like, one of the things I started doing in this quarantine time that I haven't done in years, strangely enough, I do read, obviously, you know, reading contracts and all that other jazz, but picking up a book and just reading for pleasure, I have not really done since I left college.
So long.
Once,
right?
I started law school.
Wow.
Yeah, like, you know, and that's part of the reason why I got into law, to be honest with you. I was like, oh, I could read and write all day and get paid to do it? That was part of my, like, my young girl thinking. But and then I realized, like, it takes, you know, but it took a little bit of the pleasure away of, like, creative writing and reading for fun and diving in. Like, honestly, the last book that I really, like, really sat down and read and just dived into was A Mercy by Toni Morrison. And that book came out in, like, 2009. And I sat there and devoured that book because I was writing a thesis on A Mercy in comparison with Beloved. So it's definitely taking me back to, like, my English days.
I know that so well. As a reader myself, I love books. I am just excited to be able to have a little time. I've been reading for the last 5 days myself, so I understand reading for pleasure, but it's still business, and it's contractual as well. And so it's a lot of, you know, you just got to put everything together. So as people are coming, stepping up into their manifest the power or finding their own determination to be successful, to find financial freedom and financial success and find freedom, where I think, which is what this pandemic is teaching us, I don't know if you would agree with that, but it's teaching me a little bit more patience. Not so much with
I think you're right on the money with it. And I think a lot of people are feeling like that right now. I mean, especially for those that are out there that are in the entertainment sectors, right? Like, you're really in a gig-based economy. So I think that, you know, this pandemic really shook things up quite a bit because we all kind of operate off of, like, we're moving from one gig to the next, right? Like, once you finish one job, you want to get to the next one. But now, you know, I think it kind of forced people to stop and think, geez, how do I actually make sure I'm still good even in times like this where the money was just run out, production stopped, what do I do? And how do I structure myself? So, like, I've been even talking to clients in terms of, like, look, even if you're in entertainment, I think one of the most empowering things, like, have you ever considered putting yourself on payroll? Like, you are your own employer in your own company. We can structure that,
this is what it would look like.
You pay yourself, but then on top of that, you know, in a situation like this that we've never seen, at least in my lifetime, I, you know, haven't seen something like this, but the fact that the government was, you know, giving PPP loans, that was something where it's like, okay, well, do you have yourself on payroll? You know, like, I pay myself. So that's not like, I am a single shareholder of my company, but I also pay myself. I kind of stopped it for a few weeks so I can make sure I pay, you know, my assistants and everybody else. But at the end of the day, I can run it right back again. And to know that I have checks coming from myself, it's great. But it makes me work harder. It makes me work differently to know that what I bring to the table, what I bring, you know, as far as the bread goes, it begins and ends with me. And that's great. And I think that's an empowering thing. And I think it's a powerful thing for, you know, content creators to even think about from their business structure. So, again, don't get so caught up in just the creative side that you're missing the mark on the business end. You know, be conversant in that as well. But also be patient with yourself, right? Like, this time right now, mm-hmm. I think, you know, Mother Nature says she needed a detox. Sent everybody to their rooms. And now we're sitting here trying to figure out what, you know, what to do. So I think this moment of quiet is a long overdue one. One that didn't need to be to this extent. I would never say that we needed a pandemic for all this. But I think it's important to find the silver lining in this moment to help you pivot and where you need to go and how you need to get there, and to take that time to think about it, because now the world has literally slowed down.
It truly has, and that's just a great outlook. I believe that all the different agreements that are out here, I have been asked several times about various things. By there's a lot of privacy policies and stuff changing, and there's a lot of if you don't claim your rights up front, you're being infringed on with the, you know, different things that you're signing up with and different things like doing network. I do a lot of networks, so I travel a lot of places. I was out in Atlanta all last year. All of last year, and for 6 months, and so the Carolinas, and so on and so on. And so I believe in networks is your strongest vehicle to build your network. So I truly agree with that. And like you said, especially being in the entertainment business, you cannot afford not to put yourself in a situation who have accomplished one thing or another.
Absolutely.
What would you say?
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. So I just want to make sure I understood the question correctly. So, like, what would I say in terms of what?
You were saying earlier about people being able to travel, put themselves in situations in a network situation, where there's continuous network where you're being seen, you're able to go in and find out who sees the success. And it's a part of building your brand. And we were talking about branding earlier and how you have to rebrand. So now we're going into a second question, and it's okay. But I just wanted to know what your thoughts were about what's the first thing people should look at when it comes down to networking, and because you got to brand yourself to network. You got to be able to track, you know, what you're doing.
Right, exactly. Well, right. No, you got to know exactly what it is that you're doing, why you're doing it, and how you secure what it is that you're looking to do moving forward, right? So whenever you're in the room, like, know your value. As soon as you walk in, like, you're bringing something different. You're bringing something special to the table. It may not register and resonate with everybody, and that's okay. You know, like, I call myself a dirty martini. I'm like, well, there's enough for everybody, and I'm all right with that. So at the end of the day, when you walk into a room and you start to network, you know, don't be the bombastic, you know, self-centered individual. you know, really read the room. And that takes an element of understanding, having that emotional intelligence, I think is probably the best way to put it, right? But being able to network, you don't have to walk out with a whole bunch of business cards and just connecting with like three quarters of the room to say that you networked, right? The network is really something where you're engaging on a deeper level that you know that you could probably pick up the phone post networking event that's more superficial in nature and actually strike up a conversation, a follow-up conversation with that person and start building that authentic relationship. But that's really what it's about these days. Like people buy into authenticity. Why? It's not truly a buy-in. It's just a natural inclination that you feel connected with somebody when it's real, right?
Yeah.
And that's really what it is.
Definitely. Yeah.
Right, so we buy particular brands because they make you feel a certain way or, you know, some people, they do it for the money, of course, and just to show status, you know, in their wear. But if there's certain things that gravitate towards you in terms of, like, certain types of services and the branding and marketing behind it, they probably spend some time in thinking about the fact that they were able to convert you off the strength that there was some element of authenticity there. So, you know, just being you, authentically you, and knowing who you are walking into the room, it puts you milestones ahead of people that are walking around with lampshades over them, right, hiding their true light.
Yeah. So what do you think about, because everybody is different. Like you said, we all unique. We all come with our own blueprint. And some of us are still trying to figure that out and follow it. And that's a great thing because you get to modify the print as you grow and learn. And I had a few people from Baton Rouge, Louisiana area suffering a lot because they always in they just on the stroll. For lack of words, I can't even tell you what it is, but you know, out there in Baton, where is you know what I'm talking about. So a lot of those entertainers are like, you know, struggling now, trying to figure out when they was you know, did three or four nights out of the week. You know, not really in mainstream, a little music, they on SoundCloud, so forth, and, you know, just got a little social play where they're ranking a little bit. They're known throughout their city, but they're just struggling with being able to perform because that's all they have. And this is how they took care of their band. So
yeah.
What would you say to the entertainment world who is suffering from, I mean, I know we're doing a lot of, you know, like video movements right now. But what, you have a different twist or a different look on that?
A different twist on which one?
How to, I guess, reinvent themselves or how to put themselves out there to be seen.
Yeah, with each artist, I totally get it. If you're not the artist that's already bubbling, you know, on top 10 list and you're still on that long stretch, because that's really the truth of the matter, having your heart in this entertainment game, you got to know that there's a long stretch. You know, you don't have the successes that just happen overnight. When you really break down even the success stories, it was like at least 10 years plus in the making. So
wow.
Understanding the long stretch and understanding what you need to do in the immediacy to make sure that you feed your family, feed yourself, you know, that's important. And it's okay if you're not in entertainment 100% of the time, right? Because it's a really tough business to be in 100% of the time. So if it means having to pick up side jobs or still doing something that is tangential to whatever your craft is, you know, now, like we've been talking about, people are online. So can you generate enough buzz, or do you have enough buzz at least in your community, in your areas, where you can kind of talk about certain elements of art, you know, online, teaching workshops, right? If you're someone who maybe you're not bubbling the surface that a lot of people know about you, but you enough that you've got a following, you can actually, you know, create courses, you know, to talk about, or create communities. Again, you can network even online. It doesn't stop, you know, it's because we're not, you know, practicing the social distancing, we're not seeing each other in person. So there's different ways that you can definitely do it. And I think that's part of being an artist too, is knowing how to build out a transmedia experience of what it is that you do, but also being realistic in your expectations of what you're able to accomplish in the moment and then also in the long term.
Wow. That celebrity attorney, Marissa Cresto, I hope that your ears is full, your heart out is overwhelmed and overjoyed with this great information, with the insight. There's a lot of information here, and I would implore you to follow up with Marissa, get to her social sites and connect, or find someone in your area. And hopefully it's a compatible situation in most cases when you can, somebody it is.
Yeah, no, and it's true. It's very true. You do want to build that relationship, or know that you can potentially have that business relationship with someone that you're trusting with part of your life's work, right? So, you know, it's not always about how many years they've been in the game, you know, or how many celebrity clients or whoever that they have. At the end of the day, are they going to give you that attention that you're looking for and really help push your career along, make sure you're protected? I think that's at the end of the day, that's got to be the basic if you're going to put your money towards that type of service.
Yeah. And just to mention, it does, in order for you to believe in yourself, you have to know your confidence level. You have to know your weaknesses. You have to tune in really to yourself. You have to tune into yourself so that you can hear your concerns. A lot of times I feel like artists kind of neglect themselves by ignoring those intuitional feelings or intellect. I mean, just common sense, when something is not right. And sometimes it's not, you know, the outcome is not good. So in those situations, I feel that it's important for people to know how to govern themselves mentally. As you said, Marissa, that there are, this business is hard. Entertainment is hard every day. Every
mm-hmm.
day. And you got to put the time and energy to build that craft, that skill. You have to continue to stay innovative, you know, and be able to go with the times. And the times now is getting online and putting yourself out there, being brave to share your expressions.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And look, there are so many, like, good writers that are out there, musicians that are out there that never, you know, get to the status of a Kevin Hart, of a Beyonce, you know, like the people at the top of the game in their respective industries of entertainment, right? Like, there are definitely those that are killed. And so continue at your craft, you know. You don't have to, again, think about that long haul, because even for the people that are on top, they are constantly in that angst of, like, I got to stay on top. How do I do this? You know, like I always talk about the heart effect. You know, when you look at Kevin Hart, like, that man is on his grind. I remember seeing him, you know, at Laugh House back in Philly when he first got started, and then now, you know, seeing him in front of like 20,000-30,000 people, it's like, that's incredible. And I know that man is like feeling that pressure every day. Even like right now, I'm sure he's got that itch of like, I still got to create something. That's why he's got, you know, the podcast with
Right. I love him too. He is somebody definitely to look up to. He is he's definitely on his grind. He has learned a lot. He has been a great mentee. He and I love the fact that he has a foundation, Heart Foundation, and he put his mother in control of that, which is smart.
And I love it. I love it. If you look at him and you look at LeBron James, a couple of things they have in common. You know, one of the things that they have in common is the fact that they built their close team around them, like their friends, right? People that they trust. But they also put them in positions that gave them positions of power to be able to not only protect them, but also to kind of build wealth around them. And I think that is amazing. When I say them, I'm not talking about just, you know, Kevin Hart, LeBron themselves. Like, they're helping communities. They're helping their families. It's on a wider scale. And the fact that they, you know, LeBron and Kevin put their boys in place in certain companies, certain positions to be able to, you know, really acquire the knowledge, right? Because they weren't necessarily skilled maybe in what they were doing at that point in time in the position that they were granted. But at the same time, they earned it. They worked hard for it, and they were given that opportunity, which is something that for our people, we don't really see a lot, unfortunately, right? And that's tough. Like, we see that, you know, we hear about it with the Bershanowskis of the world and everything else, right? But at the end of the day, when it comes down to Black and brown people, we don't elevate each other that way, and we should, and need to systemically do that. And that's empowering, and that's so powerful to see how they're able to give back and see it tenfold in so many different facets in other communities as well.
I agree. Like, there are so many ambitious people, and I think ambitious, and this is just my opinion according to dictionaries. I read multiple dictionaries. Ambition is evil course. It will step over people. It will use people. It will manipulate people. It's not an honest, because you have to put that on. You have to carry that type of mentality, you know. So I believe self-determination is more safer for people who really, really have a spirit and a heart to serve other folks and help them. And I believe that if you help enough people get where they're trying to go, then you'll also receive those same great benefits and rewards. And so I appreciate you serving through your high school years. It's amazing that you could do that. You know, so many people dropped out of school and didn't get a chance to go to college, not alone just go to college, but do what they love. You love to read and write. You know, then you took up and protect people and then ask. All these things that make that you're made of, and you took those things, the knowledge and the skill and the compassion and the empathy that it takes and the self-determination to win for yourself to change life for you. I believe all those ingredients together could be an amazing, as you say, self-proclaimed.
Look, you got to proclaim it.
I love it. It's because it's what I've been working on, I would say, for the last year and a half, is my own personal self-proclaiming. So to see it in writing, and it's just that simple, you know. I put in the time, put in the energy, I put in the work. I did what I needed to do for me. I'm going to be successful for me. And those that's around me will win because they're associated with me. And I was going to speak about Nick Cannon, who has done, we're rolling out, who's done the same thing as Kevin Hart and LeBron. So, you know, they're putting everybody on. And they're not always getting paid. The people that you surround yourself, like you're saying, that Kevin's built where they're building wealth around the people so they can come up as well. I think is another tool that people in business or entertainment should take a look at. Put yourself back in a situation where you was the employee and not the employer. How would you have – now, run your business. Be successful and do what you have to do, your boss. But at the same time, don't be so unhuman that you forget what it is to be an employee or to serve those that are around you, to make sure they're okay. Because what, I don't know about you, Marissa, but I have a hard time if I had to go to work and I was hungry and I wasn't getting paid. I'm going to have a hard time with it.
Yeah.
And so there have to be some decisions made because there's no way those two things go together. I'm going to work and I get paid. That's just not how life goes. Labor. Because this is not, you know, slavery. This is not free labor. Entertainment can get misinterpreted because people think they put you on or they're giving you opportunity, and they are, you know, to a degree. But what's the motive behind it? Are you really trying to make sure people are succeeding? Are you giving them the best opportunities? I know sometimes being surrounded by people or them allowing you to be on that, I'm so grateful for the platform that I have. But so many other people are not doing what they love and they're trying to get there. So it's a hard it's a hard, I know a lot of people walk away from a lot of things because it's just not conducive for them, is what I'm getting at. So if you can shed a little light on that, how would they, do they set up contracts for themselves or what they self-proclaim themselves to be and what they, you know, what they can do? How does someone maneuver through that?
Oh, yeah, that tough spot. Look, you know when it's time to go and pivot into what you are meant to be doing. That's more aligned with what you're passionate about. You know it gets to that time when you become less tolerant of the workspace that you're in. And I think a lot of us go through that. Now, the part that we wrestle with is like, oh, yeah, no, I got that. I'm not tolerant of this BS, that's for sure. But then they got the fear factor that jumps in automatically of like, but I don't know what it looks like on the other side. And I know that I'm getting this check every week or every 2 weeks. It's a guaranteed thing. You know, like look, I'll keep it real, you know, I'll keep it 100. For me to, when I first started in law, I started off at one of the top law firms, you know, Am Law 100 law firm, they rattled off. You know, I was basically part of the pipeline. Once I graduated from a top-notch law school, I went into a big firm with the hope that I was going to be doing entertainment. It was all across my resume. I spent, you know, the 3 years in law school building up my resume in entertainment, so they clearly understood what I wanted to be in. And then they were like, cool, you get the job. We're not going to tell you which practice group you're going to be in yet until 2 weeks prior to your start date. And then when I started, like, 2 weeks prior, I got the letter in the mail, not even a call. Got a letter in the mail that I'll be in the real estate group. It was the weirdest thing. I was like, how the hell did I end up here? Like, what? Like, that was not on my resume. I'm just trying to figure out where you found that. You know, maybe you hired me. Like, I was all the way confused, right? But it was a blessing in disguise. Yep. Sometimes, right? And that's my personal journey. That may not be everybody's journey. But I had to. Literally after a couple of years of doing something entirely different than what I wanted to do. And I'm like, law is not easy. So I'm constantly being pulled in all different directions. I don't, you know, I'm supposed to be learning the ropes within real estate. I'm working with partners and there's these internal politics that are going on that I don't like to take part of, you know. So, and then I told you, I'm a dirty martini. I'm not for everybody. So I was just not.
Right.
I just wasn't in the right space. So I had to figure out what I was going to do. Now, that check was beautiful, honey. It was nice. It was great. It was fantastic. I mean, I could have had a home by now. But I was like, you know, let me see. I think I need to do something different. You know, I had to really pivot. So I decided, you know, okay, well, I'm gonna relocate to a whole different state. I just want to start fresh and new. I just feel like I was in New York and New Jersey. And at that time, I mean, gosh, trying to own a home out there was crazy. So I was like, I need to do something different. I need a new change of scenery, a new beginning. And the only way that I'm really going to propel forward is if I put myself in that uncomfortable space and I just make the move. I make the move now before I have kids, before I settle down, before there's all these ifs, ands, and buts, you know, that I'm constantly putting in my mind, these doubts, that fear factor, that energy. Yeah. I have to let it go. So I had to pick up and leave. I was like, cool, let me start somewhere fresh with a little bit cheaper because I feel like I am surviving, not thriving out here. And let's see if that will help propel things forward. So it was definitely a process. It really was. But it was necessary. Now, that may not be the case for everybody. That's not going to be everybody's path. But what I am certain of is that 9 times out of 10, it's a similar story of that time where you're just fed up with everything and you're like, I just can't do it. And I got to do something different than what I'm doing right now. This is just not it. It ain't it. I don't know what's on the other side.
Yeah, also yourself. Right. You got to search yourself. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, you got to talk yourself up. You know, you got to sit there and just, you know, you got to pump the chest a little bit. Like, you know what? I got to jump on the other side. I got to see what it's about. But I would say don't just jump out there and do it, right? There's too many factors that you have to consider. You know, you may have kids, you may have a family. Do you pick up your family? Do you do this? You know, so you have to plan, right? So I call it, honestly, it's the 3P model. You got to be pensive, you got to plan, and then you pivot. that's really the 3PMO. So just sit, like, and sometimes that could take more than a couple of months. That could take a year. That could take a couple of years. But that planning phase is so important. You're not going to have everything perfect, though. But sometimes you've got to run with it. Like, if you're, like, 80, 90% of the way there, don't wait for that final 10 if you don't have to, right? It's not going to be perfect. It's always going to be hiccups along the way. But the critical part is, did you plan? And that's where it takes some time. So when you take the time to focus in and hone in on what you really want to do and you spend time with that craft, if you really break down and peel back the layers of the stories of some of the top talent that we know of, they plan that, you know, and they'll always share the stories, but you'll hear, you know, peppered in conversations and in interviews of like, no, that wasn't easy. I was living out of a car. I was doing this at this point in time, but, you know, it was getting me to where I needed to go, you know, at that point.
Right,
and so,
right, right. Absolutely.
So if there's anything, I mean, if there's anything that I've said that could be a great takeaway, you know, to this conversation, because I know I've been all over the place around the world and back and in these four walls. I would definitely say, like, that 3P model, that 3P model is real, you know, really be pensive about that for a little bit, plan your moment, and then pivot.
Yeah, I love that pivot. That's a right now word in a right now situation. To look deep within yourself, plan. I love the fact that Marissa, I don't even know what word to. I'm just got to use what you have in that self proclaimed. But that self proclaimed legal brand archivist is so important. To an individual artist, I was sharing with some people that I was training on some things about that very thing. Like, you do all this work, but what are your video library at? Where's your recording? Do you have anything of your own? And I believe that's important. A lot of times we're doing things as artists or, you know, whatever title we're carrying, and we don't know enough, and I believe that's one of the ways that you protect yourself is being able to have something, a library that you can go back and reference of your work and your history, and so you can take some time and celebrate a little bit, you know, and bust your butt.
Absolutely.
You can live out your car.
You know?
You know, we're hungry.
It is, no, honestly, that's true, though. It is important to kind of relish in those moments for a little bit, because I think we're so used to just on to the next thing type mentality of like, cool, check that off, did that. Now on to the next thing. We got to, you know, take the time to, like, celebrate those moments, because as quick as it might seem like a blip of a moment that's now in the past, you were waiting for sometimes that moment to finally come, and when it hit, there's that joy you should really partake in, you know, and that, again, is back to what I was saying, like, probably 20 minutes ago about slowing it down, just really, you know, enjoying the moment, being more present. I think that's why I love kids so much, because, like, if you really look at how kids operate, they ain't worried about the yesterdays and tomorrows. They're like, look, right now, right here, I want this ice cream and these chicken nuggets. And I'm going to go play and be about my day, right? Like, I want that energy. There's just, like, built-in, like, little lattes, you know, they got all the shots of espresso built into their bodies. I'm like, I am dying for that energy. But that's because they also are focused on the present moment.
Again, give us your social media. We have one call on the line. I know this call is, and I want to bring her on so that she can speak. And I just want to thank you again for sharing so much of your time and energy devoted to other people. I believe it's a selfless act that will be rewarded beyond the years of your presence on earth, that other people will pay it forward because of the energy you put into it, because of the experiences that you have, because your heart is pure towards doing the right thing. And I think that's a lot of times where we fail at. We stop doing it for the right reason. We don't have even a purpose behind it. And so it's not about the fans. It's not about the people that we touch. It's not about the clients. It's about money. And when you get to that point, it's I don't know.
I'm
going to bring my call off.
It sounds so
delicious. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Yes.
Caller 9827. You on the line. Thank you for calling in. What are you calling in from?
Hello, Ms. Sean. This is your station manager, Gigi, and co-host.
I know. Hi, honey. How are you? We are interviewing with celebrity attorney, Melissa. And
sorry about that.
No, you're fine. You've been listening, and we appreciate you listening. So I want to give you the opportunity to speak to our guest.
I was going to say, how you doing?
Good. How are you doing this evening?
I'm doing okay. Then I'll have a question right now.
Okay. Well, we're not going to be on here too much longer. We just want Marissa a chance to be really, I want to say on leave. But that wouldn't be proper in the sense that you're our private, so you would share knowledge and research, which is so needed in such a desperate time as this. There are so many people like lacking the knowledge, and I believe it's so important to iterate one more time how important it is for people to do self-study now and where they should look for those self-help.
Yes, as far as the self-help, I mean, honestly, you know, take a look at any of the resources that are popular within your subsector. So, like, if you're a screenwriter, ScreenCraft is a great resource. You've got, you know, Screenplay on Instagram, you know, that focuses on screenwriting. And just, you know, kind of focus in and hone on your craft. For music, you know, there are a bunch of master classes that are out there right now in terms of production, and being able to focus in understanding, like, publishing. Just getting the nuances of both the business and the legal, I think, is really key. But there's so many resources out there that unless it was, like, tailored specifically to an industry, I'd probably have a more tailored response. But I think, you know, just now is the time of being able to educate yourself. I think we're in a day and age where it's hard to say you don't know something and you can't find out about it. It's just a matter of that want and desire to get that knowledge.
So one more important question. Both artists that stuck in their head, they need to pivot. I wanted to know what are your thoughts that what do you suggest for people who are stuck in their head and just can't make that first step? What would be a motivation or a book or something that would motivate someone to get up and just dare themselves to just be and see what happens.
And to just be, you know what's actually been helpful? And I've noticed more people have been doing it. It's not for everybody, but having those like self-guided journals and just writing every day, taking a few minutes and writing about like what you would like to do and accomplish, and like having those journals that sometimes have the planners built in, you know, within them is great as well, right? Like I have one that's from this company called Set and Soul, and it's actually pretty cool. Like you go through and they have notes of like, okay, what are you looking to accomplish this month? And they'll have positive quotes that are just flowing throughout the book. And sometimes it's nice just to have that positive message that you're kind of reinforcing each and every day. So I think it's good to have, again, it goes back to what I was saying before of just having an action plan. So that's the first, to write it down and have all sticky notes, you know, across your walls. But at the end of the day, you got to put that plan into action and have the rubber to the road. So, like, how do you break it down into real digestible steps of, like, okay, cool, if I want to move out to LA and pursue an acting career, how do I do that? Like, how do I build up my credentials now? Are there short films that are currently being filmed in your respective area where, you know, they're looking for talent and could you take on a role? You know, those are little things that you can figure out and just kind of market yourself and take those active steps, even if they're baby steps, to get to that final goal.
small pivots. I love it. That was so powerful. Oh my God. I mean,
wow.
You know, just
thank you.
Right? Like, I mean, that was just, I mean, similar to us, it was just powerful. Look, just adjust a little bit. Go into something else. I thought about that years ago as my children were coming up. They wanted to be actors and they were trying to run me all over the world in Chicago. Auditions and different things, and I just could not, three kids, well, four then, as I was raising my niece, I could not keep up with the auditions. I couldn't keep up with it. Drive an hour and 45 minutes to get to the office. You know,
mm-hmm.
There was a lot of prep that went with that. And I say that to say, be dedicated to yourself. I think the thing that we lack is a lot of times everybody wants us to believe in something we can't see. I'm not against anybody's religion or whatever their faith is, but I believe that people need to believe in themselves. And that's where we struggle at in our head at the most. And I say we because most creative contenters are like, do I do it now? Do I wait? I got a little more time. You know, all these kind of little obstacles that you plan with in your head. And I believe that just a small adjustment, showing up every day at 5 o'clock, or showing up and waking up an hour early, you know, soaking in a bath, you know, combing your hair to the left instead of to the right, you know, doing something just different, just some small things to change. We have another call on the line. We're going to take it in now. We're going to see. Call it 5634. You're on the line. Thank you so much for joining. Will you please introduce yourself and let us know where you're calling in from? Call 563 on the line. Live. You've been listening to Mind Blowing Decisions, where we talk about life, love, and relationships. I am your host tonight. We have lost that caller, but hopefully they will be listening and call back in. We just wanted to thank you once again for all your time and effort and energy and all the information and knowledge that you have shared with us today. It has truly been inspirational. It has been just to read through the accomplishments. I want to ask you this before we wrap this up. What are the most important practices that you do for just you to get you ready for a day? Are you preparing the night before? Are you preparing 3 days in advance? What does that look like?
Oh, gosh. I mean, yeah, part of it, which is what I'll be doing after this call, just kind of planning for tomorrow. Even though I'm taking tomorrow off, I'm not going to be available for people necessarily. I'm still going to be working, make sure I keep people happy. So just kind of, you know, planning what tomorrow's going to look like when I wake up in the morning, just kind of starting out the day, focusing, make sure, my household is taken care of. So I like to get up early so that by the time everyone else starts kind of waking up, I've already gotten a few hours into the day that I can still have a balanced schedule to the best of my ability. But, learning to unwind. That's still a process that I'm working on right now. I think it's kind of ramped up, but it's really important, you know, to be able to kind of wind down and just not forget, you know, your loved ones that are right there in front of you as well.
Well, even though we are in social distance era, we are so close in spirit with you. We just hope the best for you and continuous growth and whatever you need. We come back and join us at any time. Just show up every Thursday at 7 o'clock.
Be on the pull-up.
Tell people go
right
background. Right. Let me be our co-host. We have a lot of folks here on this show.
Come up with a couple topics. No, but thank you guys so much for having me. I definitely appreciate it. I wish you all very well. Please continue to practice social distancing. Check in on your loved ones and keep your energy up.
Yeah, awesome. Listen, you guys, again, you have been listening to My Mind Is Blown. Celebrity attorney Marissa Cecil, who has broke down the intellectual entertainment properties and copyright and trademarks, brand protection for all industries of entertainment, from TV, radio, fashion, literary, you name it. The real Housewives franchise, not just Atlanta, not just, you know, all the different things, but the franchise itself. That's a really freaking big deal. I'm so impressed to be in your presence and to know you. Not only are you you took care of adults, but you also wrote and took care, influenced children that were coming up artists or that's been in the industry for some time and needed some guidance. And you don't find a lot of people taking on kid cases.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know, being influential to kids coming from high school, coming from college, coming from law, and to have a passion as a woman to be a mother, to have a family that you can care for and come home and love on and they love you back, it's definitely something to aspire for. And I'm so glad that you are not alone tonight and you have some people to wind out with. Well, there are so many people that are really alone and during this time. I don't know. Do you sing? Are you writing plays? What's next? Before we wrap this up, what's next?
Oh, wow. I mean, as of right now, I'm in the process of actually trying to teach a couple of courses here in Atlanta. So focusing on trademarks and copyrights and also just the film business, but telling it from a certain perspective. So if it's not something that the university is going to pick up on, I'll probably convert it to an online course. So that's mm-hmm. something that's still in the works. So it'll probably be as much as I'll say for right now until it's said and done. I usually like to talk about what's been done as opposed to what I'm about to do.
Right. And that's, you have to protect it. I mean, not to put all your things out there ahead of time. We truly appreciate you again, Marissa. Thank you so much for coming on the air with us tonight.
Yes.
You know we could have been anywhere else, but you joined us.
Oh, no, we're good. I appreciate it. Like I said, thank you so much for the platform.
Oh, yes. So, guys, we're going to end this show for tonight, but Marissa, if there's a message you want the listeners to hear, you have the floor, and then that would be the last speaking voice you hear for tonight.
Yes, so my creatives out there, thank you so much for the art that you continue to create. Please continue. You know, you guys are the healers of our community. And so we're looking for that. You know, that's what's keeping us entertained. That's what makes us laugh. That's what makes us cry. That's what makes us feel. So I do ask that you continue to do what you've been gifted with and perform.
Your mindful decisions. Have a great night. Thank you so much again.
Yeah, thank you. Have a great evening.
You too.